this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Father, we just want to honor you this morning. We want to declare that you are good in everything you do, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you first loved us, Lord, that you sent your only Son to come to this earth to take upon him and be tempted in every way, yet not did not sin, but you paid the price for our sin, Lord, that we can have everlasting life, Lord. And we want to honor you. We want to thank you, God, that we can be called children of God by faith because we've surrendered to you, Lord. And what a privilege it is for us, Lord. So we thank you that you are here, Lord, and we ask you to feel welcome with us today, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated if you are still standing. And I was blessed this weekend. Thank you, Brian and guys. You just summed up my sermon for me this morning. So I'm really encouraged by what you brought. So thank you very much. Maybe I shouldn't even put that up yet, but you can leave it on. It's now there. Just you might think, yes, what a weird title. But you'll understand it soon. I was blessed by Louis and me and Johan to go to the Willow Creek Leadership Development Conference. And they had different speakers, and it was really great for us to spend time together. But there was this one lady, she spoke on communication, international communication for business leaders. So if you have a multi-international company, and you have people from different countries, how they communicate with one another. And Yaku, you'll probably enjoy this. But this, after she wrote this book on how you should communicate, went to Japan to present her book to these people. And after she was finished, she asked if there was any questions. And no one answered her. So she went to go and sit down. And the person who facilitated the meeting or this conference said, Aaron, do you mind if I ask them if there are any questions? So he went up and he said, are there any questions? Do you have a question? And then this person asked a very meaningful question and said, thank you for that question. She couldn't believe it. And then he was still again and he looked, are there any more questions? And do you have a question? And this person asked a very meaningful question again. And she didn't understand what was happening. So he said to her, no, you must just look at the person in the eyes, then you will know. But when their eyes sparkle, then you know they have a question. So some countries read between the lines, where some countries like America and probably the Western countries will give the detail, and they won't read between the lines. So it was very interesting this morning, just to keep quiet a bit and say, and just do, and then people start coming forward, because we are not comfortable with silence. We want to full silence. And I believe it's such a beautiful emotional discipline to learn to become silent. And even silent before God, that you can hear that still small voice. Because if you speak all the time, he will wait for you until you finish. But when does he have the opportunity to speak to you? So I was very blessed this week. I'm feeling very strong. So baie dankie. That is really amazing for me. My sermon, Romeo Must Die and Juliet too. There was this movie called Romeo Must Die. And when there was a good-looking guy like Matthew, we would always say, because we were felt threatened by this guy if there was any girls around, we said, Romeo Must Die. But this is not the reason. So I actually had to go and Google Romeo and Juliet's story. So if you don't know it, the Capulet family and the Montague family, and these two people were so in love, and the family wanted this Paris guy to get married to Juliet, and she didn't want to get married to him. She wanted Juliet. So she faked her own death by drinking a tub of, it wasn't poison, but it looked like she died. And then when Juliet saw that his beloved, when Romeo saw that his beloved Juliet had, he thought she had died. He took real poison and he died. And she woke up and she saw he died and she took a knife and she killed herself. So, very sad story, but it's a story that has inspired people over many decades. most people, some people. But for me, there's another story that really inspires me and it's really inspiring me at the moment. And it's just the story of Moses and taking the Egypt or the Israelites out of Egypt. And he moves them out of Egypt to the promised land. And the first scripture that I just want to bring to you, 1 Corinthians, and I just want to click, I'm not going to go into it, but it says, "Don't be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. They all were baptized into Moses, the cloud, and the sea. And they all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did." You know, if you think of it, the Exodus story is from Exodus to Deuteronomy. It's four books that they explain, and there's all the festivals, and it's got to do with the temple, and there's so much detail that God has given to us, that, and it all points to Jesus Christ, the coming of Jesus, and who Jesus was going to be, the different festivals, the Passover, that when Jesus died on the cross, he died on Passover. Then there's this unleavened bread, where they look if there's any sin, and they had to wash their houses, and it's got to do with sin. Jesus died for our sin. Then the first fruit in the middle is new life, and Jesus was resurrected on that day of first fruit. And then 50 days later, it's Pentecost, where the 10 commandments was given to the Israelites, but also the Holy Spirit was given to us after that. And then there's a time, I think it's about, there's a period to the tabernacles, and there's these three festivals, the Feast of Trumpets, that where they just blow on the trumpets, on the shofars, to announce the coming of this festival. But we believe it's also the announcement that Jesus is coming back soon. And I think it's about 10 days later when it's the Day of Atonement, the only day when the high priest was allowed to go into the presence of the Holy of Holies, which is really representing the presence of God, the Father God. And then just after that, it's tabernacles. And many people believe that's when the church will be taken. And it's also for 7 days. And we believe there's going to be 7 years of a tribulation. But it's also in the time of the harvest, the final harvest that's been taken in for the year. So many people believe it's a sign to us as how the end will be. But, you know, what stands out for me in my own life at the moment is God comes and he appears to the Israel people, the Hebrew people. They've been slaves for 400 years. They came to Egypt. God rescued them from a drought. They are in Egypt. And over time, through a mighty work that he has done in Joseph's life, and just the thing about Joseph, his friends, his brothers, put him in that pit. And in that pit, he was taken out by slave traders, and they sold him to Potiphar, and he had him put in jail. So all the things that happened with Joseph was just out of his control. He had big dreams, but his dreams got crushed, and he had no control over it. It wasn't because he had sinned, or he was a bad guy, or he had fear. He just was taken through hell. And in the end, he came to a point where he saw his brothers, and he had to work through all that forgiveness. And then when his brothers saw, when he recognized his brothers, but to that point where he could forgive his brothers and realize that God had made all of this happen to bring him to a point where he could lead Egypt. So God took him through literally the desert. He took him through hell to prepare him for a place where he could release him in this great, amazing thing that God had to do. But it wasn't only amazing for Joseph, it was amazing for all the people, because he had done this amazing thing in his life. So 400 years later, these people that got rescued are now slaves. And God hears their cries, and he comes and he says, "I want to take this people out to a promised land." So there's this 10 plagues that come, and then they have to follow this cloud. And when this cloud moves, they had to move underneath this cloud. And this cloud takes them to the Red Sea. And then he takes them through the Red Sea, this massive miracle that happens. Where it's like, have you been to the aquarium in Cape Town? It's probably like that. You look up, but there's no glass. And you see the fish and you're like, wow, this is amazing. Probably if you've never been under the water with, and they haven't been. So the first aquarium that they had to visit, so they go through this massive aquarium. And then the thing that destroyed the slave masters was the thing that rescued them. Was the thing that rescued the Hebrew people. That terrible thing that they thought was going to destroy them, rescued them, but it also destroyed people that was against them. So now they're in the desert, and there's this cloud, and the cloud moves, and then it stops, and then they have the tabernacle, the presence of God, and they all come and sit in a nice order around it, the presence of God, and they sit and wait. And then God moves the cloud, and then they all have to pack up, and then they've got to move to the next, and then he sits there again. And then just speaking to Matthew, and I'm learning so much from Matthew at the moment. He's discipling me, so I'm so grateful. But he and I think it's you. No, yes. They are building, making swords and axes, but they're doing it the old way. So the heat metal, they beat it up, and then they put it in the water, and that's how they do it. So he told me that if you heat metal to a certain point and you don't cool it down, you will destroy it. And it's the same with silver, apparently. You heat the silver to a certain point until the smith can see his own face in it, but then he has to cool it down. Otherwise, it's going to destroy. So the same that we go through, we get heated up until Jesus sees his own face, but then he's got to cool us down. I believe this is almost what happens to the Hebrew people. When they're under the cloud, they're very nice and cool because it protects them against the sun. But when that cloud moves and they're not moving with, they feel extreme heat. From the top, the sand, they're burning. Everything is burning. It's not comfortable for them. So now they have to seek the presence of God, and they've got to move to come under the cloud again. Until they to a place where they become very comfortable, and now they're very comfortable in this place, and then they're feeling they're starting to settle in, and they make friends with the neighbors, and it's really, they enjoy it, and then the cloud moves again, and now they're very hot again, and then they've got to move. But if they don't want to move, they burn. And now you can think it's the devil, and you and in name of Jesus, and you fight, and you spiritual warfare, and you put anointing all around your house, but God is just moving away, and he's wanting us to follow him. Does anyone agree with that? It's not nice to hear this, but I believe this is what's happening with us. It's maybe happening with me. Maybe there's one other person who it's happening to. So this is what I believe God is speaking to me about. So when that moving happens, we have to learn obedience. And that's why he moves, so that we can learn to follow, because Moses followed him. And he told the people, but there was something in them. They were slaves in Egypt. The thing about a slave cannot inherit. A slave cannot inherit. Only a son can inherit. So the inheritance is for children of God. God wants us to inherit. He wants us to walk into the promised land. He wants us to inherit the promised land. But if we have a slave mentality, we cannot inherit. So he takes us out of Egypt, but now he's got to take Egypt out of us. And that's why we sometimes go through the pain and the heat, because he wants us to become dependent on him and not dependent on us or our own ability. So we can be, and that's what I learned this weekend, we can be codependent on people around us, or we can be self-sufficient. I'm very wealthy, I don't need anyone, so I look after myself. But I believe God wants us to that place where even if you are self-dependent, you know that you are dependent on God. And sometimes God needs to take us through tough times that we can come to that place where we know Jesus is enough for me. That's what I need. I don't need a breakthrough. I don't need a deal. I don't need a job. I need Jesus, because He will lead me to where I need to go. So it's this faith. God wants us to walk by faith. And this is what I believe God is speaking to me. But what prevents us from walking in faith? It is sin. Because the sin ensnares us, and sin is not only getting drunk and those things. It's many times unbelief and fear. Those things that we think is not damaging. So this one man said to us, what is his name? Maxwell. John Maxwell said, the things that might lead us to greatness will always be an uphill. But the things that will lead us downhill will always be our bad habits. So the things that God, no one in this life is going to wake up one day, he said. He said, wow, this amazing thing happened in my life. Look how wealthy I am. Look how great I am. Look how great this is. We have to work for it. We have to aspire to go there. We have to dream. We have to face these challenges. And if we're not able to follow and go for that, it will not mean anything to us. You know, the story of the people, the talents also challenged me. The five talents, the three talents, I think, or two talents and one talent. But he said talent is like risk. And risk, in Christian terms, is faith. So if in a church, we'll say it's a faith step. In business, it says we're taking a risk. But it says to the lazy servant that didn't take faith, you're a lazy and wicked servant, because they didn't take risk. They didn't take walk by faith. So I believe God is wanting to move us out of our comfort zone, that we can take risk in Him, faith. That we walk by faith and not by sight. And this is why many times we go through difficult times and we don't understand where it goes, because of God's goodness. Because I believe God wants us to inherit the kingdom of God, not for us, but also for Him and for those who are not there yet. That God wants to do great and amazing things in each one of our lives so that He gets the glory, but people around us also benefit from it. Because God's kingdom, and I'll come to that now, I believe, is people. God values, God loves all people. So I just want to things that I believe, why do we take heat? We sometimes take heat because of our marriages. And I think Forrest Gump said, marriage is like a box of matches. And I think I've done it in church before. But in Afrikaans, in the old vertaling, said it that die waterbak, God's die vrou is soos 'n waterbak, it's a fountain, said it in the New Living Translation. Maar in Afrikaans is 'n waterbak. And each man must drink from his own fountain. Elke man moet uit sy eie waterbak uitdrink. En dan praat het van die slegte vrou en he who goes to her will be destroyed, and why are you so stupid, and you see it in your everywhere. And that slechte vrou is nie net 'n ander vrou nie, it's some pornography, it's all of those things, it's lust, it's all those things that distract us from the wife of our youth. So I was very challenged by this, is if there's nothing in there, you can't drink from it. So us as husbands have a responsibility to fill the waterbag of our own wives. My vrou, yes. And it's hard work. It's really hard work, because you've got to do all these things. My vrou Kili, dan lees hy so, and I'm like, when is this going to stop? But it helps her to fill her waterbag. So then the wife, the man, is the line of Judah. He's the covering. So when the man covers the wife must also submit to the man. So that what stands, it doesn't like this. darkness completely covered. And that's covering. So when there's a shaking, the children who are alles die paaltjies in die koker, that they don't fall out. So if your children is not peaceful, it's probably because in the house there's no peace between husband and wife. So when the shaking happens, they're screaming and there's no peace in the house, is it not maybe because it's not in order? So I'm just asking the question. So now there's heat and you're going, yes, my vrou, the devil is in ons huis. But I believe it could be that God is just moving and you attacking the devil, and the poor devil is like, it's not, I've done many bad things, but this one is not me, it's actually you. You should come in order. Husbands, fill your wife's waterbath, and wives. And I just want to say something to the for the men's sake, because our batteries get filled, recharged, when we have peace. And this is why we like fishing or just sitting in front of a television and going through the channels. It's not that we want to watch anything. We just want peace. So if you talk to us the whole time, we cannot get peace. And then we become distant. And when we're distant, you feel we're not interested and you feel insecure. Then you fight even more with us and we become more distracted because we want to run away. And that's when we start working very late at night because we don't want to come home. And the more you come home, husbands, the more the wife talks to you because she wants security, the more we want to run away. So there's changes that needs to make. And it's not because God doesn't love us, because He loves us. He moves the cloud a little bit that we can take the heat, because He wants to bring us into that presence where He wants to love us. And I just want to, I've done it before, and I can't remember it for Jaco and Lisa, and I can't even my vrou embarrass me, and I lay saam met haar. And if you feel this curse, then you must come to me. Das nie bygeloof nie. So God's given Jaco authority, and hulle kry so mooi reg, ons kan hulle eintlik net 'n hande klap gee. Yeah. So when he does wrong things, and he does it now and again, I know, because she tells me he does, then she must stay under the covering, not onto him, because this is the mistake that women does. They will say, how can I respect him? Look at what he does. But she doesn't submit to him, she submits to God who has given. So she stands under this. She's not standing under him. She's standing under the covering because of God. So when she does stand here, you normally see it in the children because they become rebellious, because it releases anger there and the children becomes rebellious because there's not covering. And it's difficult because especially, and not him, but if a husband comes home late and he's drunk and all those things and he doesn't come to church and all of those things, we get very upset. But thank you, Jaco and Lisa. But God wants Egypt out of us. He wants us to walk by faith. He wants Lisa to submit unto him, not on him, but as unto the Lord. And he wants us to love our wives as we love ourselves, which is impossible. There's only one thing men really love, and that's themselves. That's our desire, our need. We love ourselves. So God says we must love our wives as we love ourselves. And that means I've got to meet the needs of my wife. Oh, I'm so in trouble. I'm going to have it so badly this afternoon because I'm going to do the dishes. And that's what we have to do. Sometimes I've got to do the dishes. That's my one job. And I've been lazy this week. But it's all about marriage. God wants love marriage. God loves children. God wants us to come together. He wants us to inherit the kingdom of God. And what causes us not to inherit is our own insecurities. I'm not good enough. I'm probably not going to make it. I'm not strong enough. I'm not gifted enough. I'm not whatever. And God is saying, no. Gideon wasn't gifted. He said, who, me? Moses? I'm not even David. Even David, he says, don't you have another son? Boss David. You know, God uses people like us to do great things. But he needs faith. And faith is when he takes us through the heat, that we come dependent and coming to God, that we know and see God in all that we have, that we walk into the peace of God. So in Romans 6, verse 6 and 7, it says, we know that the old self, and the New King James Version says the old man. So Matthew, that's not your dad, and it's not me either. The old man was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. So, because Jesus died, the old man is dead. Now, just to explain that quickly, this man, and Derek, I got it from Derek Prince, so it's not me that's so fantastic, oulik met hierdie story nie. This man sit and watch a 18 movie with violence and sex, and it's hectic, with a cigar in the one hand and a whiskey in the other hand. And as his wife and children walk out to go to church, he swears at them. Yellow. So they're like, okay, they go out. So when they come home, this man sits there, but that cigar wasn't smoked. It was just lying there. The whiskey wasn't drank at. He didn't drink any of it. It's just there. The movie's still going, but he's definitely not watching it. He had a heart attack. He died. This man is dead to sin. He has no desire to drink. He has no desire to smoke that cigar. He's got no desire to watch that movie. He's dead to sin. This is what Scripture is saying. We have died to sin. And my laptop or my iPad almost died. Yeah. So now Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, this is Galatians 5:19. Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity. Now the ones for us more, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. Now you can close your eyes again. Probably most of you don't do this yet or haven't done it. Drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as you have done before, those who do those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So God wants us to die to sin, because it will cause us not to inherit the kingdom of God. So God comes and he takes us through the baptism of the Red Sea, where we surrender, we move out of Egypt, we move into the promise of where God wants to take us. Now, Galatians continue 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So we have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. And the outflow of that is the love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faith. We become more like Jesus is. So if we have put to death the sin, we are being led by the Spirit of God, and that means we are under the cloud. We are being led by the cloud. So we are feeling the presence of God as we walk through him. So now God takes us and he leads us into the desert, because the fact is we all do still sin. Even though that man's story gave you all a big fright, but what about this and this? And I believe this is why God takes us into the desert, so that we feel the heat, we go, oh, I don't want to do this again. And then he moves and, oh, Here, asseblief, forgive me my sins, and we follow him. And then we get complacent again, and then we start sinning, we're comfortable, and then he says, oh, yes, daar gaan veel alweer. Voop, and then he moves, oh, Here, where's the heat coming? And then I move and I follow him. So he teaches us He makes us by faith. He sanctifies us. He leads us to become dependent on Him. Romans 8 says, He says, "For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." So, here again, if you live by the flesh, it will destroy you. If you live by the Spirit, you will live. But living by the Spirit is how you kill the body, the flesh, is to seek God. It's not to focus on how bad I am, it's to focus on how good God is. Ek is terrible. Ek is so sondaar. Ek kan nie die drank oorkom nie. You will not do it that way. It's like, God, you are good. To seek God. Even if you have a cigar in the one hand and whiskey in the other hand, but you're reading the Bible, that's where God will start revealing Himself to you in amazing ways. He did it for me. I didn't have a cigar though in my hand. I didn't have whiskey in my other hand either. So that's something else. If you are led by the Spirit of God, you are sons of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons. When we go through the water, when we go through that, when we give our hearts to God, we receive God, the adoption of God. We become children of God. Then it said, we're not only a child, but we are an heir, and we are a fellow heir with Jesus Christ. There's an inheritance that God has for all of us. And then He says, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us." So God wants to reveal the glory through all of us. So we go through the sufferings because the cloud is moving. Because He wants us to seek Him, to be led by Him. So we follow Him. But He's saying this promise to us that we will receive. And we will not, it will not compare with the glory that God will reveal to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation is eagerly awaiting for us to stand in the position that God has called us for. All of creation is saying, where are the sons and daughters of God? Those people who receive this, what God has done, the purpose of my life that will change lives around me. So now in the desert, God leads us because He's actually preparing us, because we have to face giants. There are giants that we all have to face. Those 12 spies had to go out and they saw those massive giants, and 10 said, "No ways, they are going to kill us." Only Caleb and Joshua said, "Oh, let's go and take them. God is with us, who can be against us?" All of Israel could not inherit the kingdom of God. They could not inherit the promised land because of faith, of unbelief, of "I'm not good enough." But two men said, "We can do it." And even Caleb, when he was 85 years old, he said, "You know, when I was 45, I was ready for them. Now I'm ready for them. Let's go and kick some giant butt." So they went in and they destroyed them. And you know, the sad thing is they all ran to Gat. All the giants, some of them did, and then David had to fight Goliath that came from God. So the giants that we're not going to destroy, our children probably will have to destroy, but we, God wants us to inherit and walk into that place that God is wanting to come to that place where we overcome the giants. And the biggest giant that we have to kill is Romeo and Juliet. It's us. It's the fears in ourselves. It's the fears, the insecurity, the unbelief, the worry in ourselves. The stuff that holds us back, the things that's happening between our two ears. "I'm not going to make it. That's not good enough." That is what we have to destroy. You know, and I heard yesterday this one man said, "Comfort and safety is our enemy. Comfort and safety is our enemy." We cannot, that those things withhold us to walk into the promises of what God had called us for. So in that, we are worrying about stuff. And this, I should have probably wrote down his name, but he talked about EQ, emotional intelligence. And he says people with a high emotional intelligence will perform better than people. And it's nothing to do with IQ. It's got to do with how you handle stress situations and all of that, how you perform in work time. So if your EQ is low, you'll probably not respond well to people, but when it's high, you will do. So he said there's three silver bullets that he has, and I just want to share that quickly with you in that place. But the first thing that he said is get stress under control. Get stress under control. That's fear, being anxious. What about tomorrow? What's going to happen? Because that causes us to stress. Because that is not trusting in God. And I'm putting up my hand first. I'm the first one to repent of this one. Because I worry, what is going to happen? My throw, my goodness, what are we going to do? But God is saying, trust in me. Because I want to take you to the next place. The second thing that he said is, you must get more sleep. And quality sleep, you will not get if you take something to drink to sleep better. So if you take a pill, you will not sleep well. So you'll wake up feeling even more tired, and your emotional intelligence go down, and you are like someone that hasn't slept for a long time. So sleep is important, and the one advice that he gave is blue lights. Don't have blue lights at night, because it will cause you not to sleep. Blue light is computer screens and iPad screens and all those screens that we have. It causes you not to want to sleep well. And then the third one is caffeine intake. Reduce it, because it takes 24 hours for caffeine to get out of your system. So if you drink 4 or 5 cups and the next day it adds up quite a bit. So you get very tense like this. You don't sleep and you are, and when you have caffeine in you, the choices you make are bad choices, because you're more likely to be aggressive than if you didn't have in that. So from that, it's a place, I believe, that we walk not worrying, but trusting God. We walk by faith, because God is good all the time, and he makes all things work out for the best, because we are called according to his name. God loves us. He loves me. And you can say to someone next to you, God loves you. And then you can say, he loves me too. And then something that Louis always says to me, do you love yourself? Do you love yourself, Yaku? Because you can't love others if you can't love yourself. And that's true. God loves me. Wow, that's amazing. It's actually so profound what he says. If I can't love myself, how can I love people around me? But God loves me. And that's faith. I've got to accept that God loves me. So when I know that God loves me, wow, God is good. God is good all the time. Amen. Philippians 4, and I just want to add to what Heinrich said last week, but Philippians 4, verse 6 to 8. Do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, make your request be known to God, and the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So don't be anxious. Give it to God, pray, walk by faith, and this peace of God, it will surpasses all understanding. And then he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Renewing of mind. There's a tape, and this one lady from the Salvation Army told us this. There's a tape that's been played, and this tape is in your mind. And when you were a child, it was probably recorded, and this tape is saying, you're not good enough. Jy gaan dit nie maak nie. Kyk nou alweer. And this thing plays in your mind. And it's time to press stop in that button, get a new tape, and put the one from Jesus in, and start listening to that, what God says about us, renewing of the mind. And how do we do that? Not to focus on what I can't do, but to focus on who God is, on the good things, on who, and the focus of God, that we think of the things praiseworthy of who God is, of what God wants to do, of how good he is, how amazing he is. I praise you, even if it feels you're going to die, that you say, God is good all the time. When we're in the desert and you feel the heat, God, you are good all the time. Oh, the cloud is moving, I better go. And this is what God, I believe God is wanting us to take us to. So we walk by faith. We fight a good fight of faith. We fight to walk by faith that we can enter the promised land. And I believe the promised land is the kingdom of God. This is why I'm saying this is, but Matthew 6, verse 6 to 10, when you pray, and this is the one discipline that I want to encourage with each person here. When you pray, go into your room, shut the door. That's where we pray. In our room, shut the door. Not on your way to work. Doesn't work. It's not what it says in the Bible. Shut the door, lock it. And now you pray to your Father. And you say, and who is in secret? In secret, we bring our fears and our worries before Him. And then says, then we say, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And then when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Be not like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask them. God already knows our needs. Why doesn't He give it to us? Because He is moving and He wants us to move with Him. When we're in Him, He knows. He knows. He knows what it is. He's already, before the earth was created, He already knew our needs. So God is moving and He's wanting us to move with Him. And He says, when we pray, our Father, it's relationship with God in heaven. Let your name be made great. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we seek the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God, the promised land, is God's kingdom. We seek His will, His kingdom to be done in my life, where I work, where I live, where I go to school, where I take my children to school, when the people drive like onbeskofte mense. We ask God's kingdom to come even in that place. We ask God, God, what is your will? We seek the kingdom of God in that place. What is God's will? What is His kingdom? And God's kingdom is people. God's heart is people. And John Maxwell said, you know, there's five things that he does when he wakes up, and he says he thinks how he's going to add value to people. And then he thinks how he's going to do it, he does it, and then he seeks another one and he gets other people to do it. But this whole thing is about, how are we adding value to people? Because that is who God is, to add value. That's seeking God's kingdom. God's kingdom is about people. It's about you and me. God, Romans 14 says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking and living. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, becoming like God. Peace, walking in the knowing that God is good. I'm not anxious for anything. And the joy, God is good all the time. The joy of God, the knowing that I'm going to heaven when I die. What can the devil do to us when he kills us? I mean, we're going to heaven. We have first prize if it happens. So I want to finish with this, that we seek God's kingdom. Hebrews 12 verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and it's talking about witnesses that has gone on to be with the Lord, but I believe it's also to do, when you read it as scripture, but it's also to do with us. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses looking at every action, how we do it. We are getting criticized as Christians on the behavior that we have and not our intentions. So we sometimes give Christianity, I believe, a bad name by how we act in traffic, at the school. And I'm one of those first to say, I'm sorry about that. But there's this great cloud of witnesses that's looking at us. Then it says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings to us so closely. All the stuff that is holding me down, all the unbelief, all the fears, all the worries, all those things. Let us just let it go and put it down there, because God says, And then he says, because we run this race with endurance. This is a race that's set before us. It's not a 100 meters race. It's a long one. It's a... Wat is my lang ene wat jylle hardloop? 180 kilos om die puffer. It's a puffer. It's not even a comrades, this one. It's long. And it continues. And the more stuff we have, the longer it will take us to get there. And then we look at Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before us endured the cross. He despised all the shame, and he seated at the right hand of God. So God took all the shame, all the I'm not good enough, he's already taken upon him. All the rejection, all the stuff he's taken upon him, and he said, just give it to me. Give those things to me, and you run. Because I've got this amazing plan to you. This is one scripture that I miss. It's Matthew 6, verse 31 as well. Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But first seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is his own trouble. So I just want to finish with this, is that if you are maybe feeling the heat in your marriage or at work or in your career, that there's this cloud is maybe moving a little bit. So you're feeling the heat. It's time to just seek God. Seek his will for your life. And that be selfish. I believe it's time to be selfish. Say, God, what is your will for my life? Because you're a son. God wants you to inherit. What is the inheritance that he wants us to have? That we follow him. That we follow him. That we come into that place. That we understand what God had called me for. Then we seek his kingdom. What is God's kingdom? What is his righteousness? Righteousness to become like God. To become what did God called me specifically for? If we understand that, I believe this where the blessing is, that we inherit the kingdom of God, that we inherit the promised land. And this promised land is not for me. I'm the wealthy guy. It is for those people out there who do not know Jesus too. It's for the poor. It's for the aged orphans. There's so many people who need Christ. But it's not a place of, I have to do it. It's because I've been inspired, because God has come over me. I'm inspired by the love of God to reach out to all, to whoever is long. We bring the love of God because I understand who God is in me. Amen. Can we just stand? I want to pray for you guys. Thank you, Lord. We just, Father, I thank you, God, that we... I just feel it's a season, God, where I'm not doing spiritual warfare anymore, Lord. I'm just seeking you, Lord. I want to know you, Lord. I want to be where you are, Lord. I want to move with where you are moving, Lord. I thank you, Lord. And God, we so many times look at what the devil is doing, God. But God, forgive us that we are not looking at what you are doing, Lord. And that we are sometimes, God, unbelieving in what you want to do through us. And God, I believe there are many people here who have great callings and great dreams, Lord, like Joseph had, Lord, but they've been put in the pit by their brothers, Lord, and they are hurt and they're broken and they've been taken out of the pit and they've been taken to Egypt and been sold to as a slave, Lord, and now they're even in jail, and it wasn't even their fault, Lord God. And many of us are struggling, Lord God, and this world needs Jesus, needs a Savior, Lord. And you've done it already. You say the harvest is ready and the laborers are few, Lord, but it's almost the laborers are broken, Lord. We are tired, Lord. We are busy and things are happening and we're not seeking where you're moving, Lord. We're not seeing great and mighty things. And your word says that if we will follow you, great signs and wonders will be there. So I want to come before you, Lord, and I want to just pray, Lord, that you will come and do a great new work in us, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you will open the seas, that we can walk through out of Egypt, Lord, that we can walk into the desert, Lord, but be led by you to the promised land for each one of us, Lord. I thank you, God, that you are good in everything you do, Lord. And I want to pray, Lord, that you release a sense of hope in each person who came here this morning, Lord, to that hope that God is for me. Who can be against me? That I am made in the image of God. God is well pleased with me. He loves me. He's my Father. I'm His child. God, I pray, release that revelation that we are sons and daughters of God, Lord, in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Just want to, if you are here and you've not made a commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, this is where it starts. It's where the whole journey starts. If there's anyone here this morning who do not know Jesus as Savior, I want to just encourage you to be bold and to put up your hand. Is there anyone like this morning who do not have a relationship with Jesus? Is there anyone? Thank you, Jesus. Now, Father, for the rest of us, we pray that you will heal us, Lord. That you will strengthen us. And I pray, God, that we will walk by faith and not by sight, Lord. God, that our dreams will scare us, Lord. Father, we pray that you'll release dreams, that you'll release visions, Lord, into your people, Lord. I pray that you release hope. God, I pray for peace, destiny in your people, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that we live in this life, Lord, but we don't live here to be slaves, we have been called to overcome, Lord. And you have given us your spirit, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we will put aside all the stuff of this world to follow you to the promised land. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to dismiss the service. If there's anyone that wants prayer, if they or many people, please come and help me pray. But if it's just one person, I just want to give you the opportunity to pray with. For the rest of you, have a great day. And in those quiet time, go and write down there, what is God's will for my life? What did God call me for? What's God's dream for my life? And start seeking Him for it. And I trust that God will really do amazing things in all of our lives. And that when we go to heaven, we will just say, give all the glory to God, because He is the one that needs all the glory. Amen. May God bless you today.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.